I'm Cray Beaumont Flynn. Welcome to Beyond the Design, a show that gives you a peek behind the curtain of the design industry and shares the stories of those that are the driving force behind it. Welcome to Beyond the Design, and today we have with us our guest is Melissa Lee from Bespoke Only. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Cray, and hi, everyone, and I'm Melissa.
Well, I'm just going to go off and start. Can you elaborate on how your personal journey informs the ethos of Bespoke Only and the spaces that you create?
Yes. So I myself am a first-generation American, and I'm an immigrant myself, and I would say that informed a lot of my design. And I think something that I have always been saying is we as creatives are always trying to create something that we are longing for inside. And for me personally, and that's always the search of home, in search of belonging and search of acceptance. And I think that is something that I constantly have been trying to create, at Bespoke Only.
How has your diverse experience influenced your approach to design?
I think it's just, it's funny to say that. I think it's very intuitive. So I'm not classically trained in school as an interior designer. I went to school for psychology, then fashion. So it's it's not linear in any way at all.
Right.
So I would say it's pretty natural that I do have my family background is in this field. So my family is in real estate, and I have been seeing them I grew up on construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the scent of the salt dust.
Right.
It's just like, it smells like my childhood. We used to build model homes a lot for our projects. And I would always be, going on these job sites with my family and just to see, how things take place. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in my blood in that sense. And
right.
then life kind of, by itself naturally brought me back to it.
You were kind of taking that path back to where it all began. Your firm's work is
do something different, but I end up doing that.
You're pulled back in.
Yes.
Your firm's work is described as having a layered quality and depth. Could you walk us through how you achieve this in your designs and why it's so important to you?
Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with my, diverse background. And so I have been to many places. I have traveled quite a bit. And I think this is something that I'm speaking for myself and many immigrants as well. We're all dreamers in some sort of way.
Right.
And I think that with all these different multicultural background, multilingual and stuff like that, your brain is just kind of always trying to adapt. And it's just kind of like, it's just always on in that sense. So the layers come from that, and the intuitive approach also comes from that a little bit. Like when you come to a new space, how do you carve your own little corner?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you live in a place that's very layered and very culturally diverse. Brooklyn, New York is known for its vibrant and diverse culture. How does the city influence the aesthetic and philosophy of Bespoke Only?
That's kind of why I found my home here. And it just it's so different, like everyone here. And each person that you encounter brings their own story. And together we create a narrative, and that is not just our own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also something that we want to be like empathetic to the spaces that we are working on and also the people that we create for. Empathetic for who they are and who they want to be. And also these homes, a lot of homes in Brooklyn are old.
Right.
for instance, where I am right now today, this is my own home. It's also Bespoke Only's headquarter, and it's a brownstone that's been around for over 120 years. So I think the history creates the layers by itself.
Does that motivate you as a designer, as a creative?
Very much, yes. Yeah. This is, you know, like I was saying, that's how I found home here. I think the diversity itself gives us so much acceptance.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You can be different and Brooklyn takes you the same. It almost rejects you the same.
So in what ways do you see design intersecting with the human psyche, given that you started in psychology, and how do you incorporate that understanding into your projects?
So we always say we don't create visuals. So we very much always start by learning about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about, you know, how you start your day and how you move around the space. And then we want to study, like, you know, at this spot, what you're doing, what you may be thinking, and how this space can accommodate your needs at that specific moment. So for a home, the floor plan that we create is very much experience-based in that sense.
Mm.
So we want to really get in tune with the user perspective. And that has a lot to do with psychology, right? Like, people tell you their story, but then that's through their own lens. And for us to interpret it in the design format, I think it also takes a little bit of sleuthing. It takes a little bit of coding. And we then digest it in a way, internalize it, and present in a way that we think that is most empathetic.
Share with us a particularly memorable project where you felt you successfully bridged the emotional aspects of design with the physical space.
There's this courtyard home in Williamsburg, Brooklyn that we really, really love. And courtyard architecture just has been around in many different cultures since the ancient time. And it's designed for a very specific reason, which is circulation. So circulation of the air and the temperature and also just human activity around it. So I love that the sense that it gives you separation while multiple people are in this unit, but the courtyard itself in the center also connects. So I think the design of that home, so it's a very young couple, and it was during 2020. And so they were working from home quite a lot. So the emotional aspect is how do we bridge the work and home balance of it? And so that separation and unity just come into play. So how can the home serve you in different ways and multiple people and multiple activities and just multiple modes?
Right. Timelessness is a key aspect of your design and ethos. How do you ensure that your creations remain relevant and enduring amidst evolving trends?
I think the key is organic and to be truthful at the same time. Organic in the sense that we respect life itself is organic. And the trajectory of a person's, you know, journey is very organic.
Right.
So staying respectful of that and truthful to what you need at the moment and the timeless factor would just be naturally there. You're not catering something for the trend, but for who you are and saving the space to evolve.
How do, or Melissa, share with us some insights into the process of creating an experience focused around your approach to interior design? How does Bespoke Only ensure that each space tells a unique story?
You know, by the name itself, it's called Bespoke Only.
Right. It's in the name.
In the name. So, you know, like we're saying that it's very experience-based. So we don't create showroom. This is not something to just look at.
Mm-hmm.
We have a space to have feels. And this sounds like a buzzword, but it's not. When you are in space, you feel it, right? And you have feelings reacting to it. So I think those are all very unique based on each individual, each family. And as long as that remains as the core of how we design, I think each space naturally welcome our unique.
Well, how do you balance the need for functionality with a desire to create emotionally resonant spaces?
I think it's to, you know, to be empathetic for that, you know, their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So functionality, if we really understand your lifestyle well, if we studied it, we truly know like how you use the space, there's no way it cannot be functional. It's not functional when you focus too much on how it looks at.
Mm-hmm.
We all have beautiful shoes that, you know, we wear. We need to be just beautiful and, you know, we're just taking a car. But that's for a specific occasion, right? So I think a space, just like a wardrobe, it should accommodate different things in your life.
Discuss any specific challenges you faced in your career and how you've overcome them to shape the success of Bespoke Only.
Challenges. I think challenges is always trying to fit in. I think that's just my own inner little battle.
Right.
Obviously, I have my fair share with my therapist, you know, working on. And my family is from mainland China. So they moved to Taiwan during the civil war of China and Taiwan. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, it's a thing in our family, it runs in the blood. We never really quite belong. So it's a thing that I think many people share a similar background will understand. My grandparents were war immigrants. So when they got to Taiwan, they built their family there. And even though when, you know, their children were all born there, a part of them really never quite felt like that was home.
Mm.
And as fate had it, many of us, including myself, then went to different parts of this world and, you know, we found our little corner, but again, how to fit in. So that is also something in my career, right? I experience it as well. So there are certain challenges certainly come with it. And there's definitely also blessing. And I think at this point of my life and career, I have come to terms with it a lot better. Like these are the things that they were hard at times.
Right.
They were challenging, but it's also what shaped me and shaped my design. So removing any part of it, my design wouldn't come out the same.
Many of your projects involve elevating architectural elements. Can you give us examples of how you achieve this in your work and the impact it has on the overall design?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just to remain respectful. And we have multiple architects in my family. And while I didn't pursue that myself, the drafting desk was always at home. They're always doing. So it's just kind of like I always see that. And I feel like the way I do my business is it's also with sustainability, which is important. I don't mm-hmm. want to take away too much of it. So it's to stay truthful to what this dwelling is and what it wants to be. So those architectural elements are something we want to incorporate and not necessarily alter for our own needs at the moment.
You talked about smelling the sawdust and it kind of redirected your path, professional path into design. As a founder of Bespoke Only, what inspired you to establish your own design studio and what sets it apart from other firms in the industry?
Why I started is to find, you know, a place where I truly feel I belong. And there is no other place than my own firm that will give you that. So yes, I created that for myself. And this is where I really want to have the freedom to express my creative voice. And, you know, as I was mentioning that I didn't think that I would be doing the same thing that my family has been doing for generations. But when I started my own firm, it felt like this can be my own. While we are in the same field, this is mine. And I don't
right.
do the same thing as they were doing. And this is my voice. And that's why I left home and to be here and all these reasons. So yeah, I really love that what Bespoke Only can offer for me in that sense. And how it is different, I think it's also like the culture we have here. We have been known as the United Nations for some time now. So we have all kinds of different people, different backgrounds, and it's not necessarily a criteria, but it kind of like, you know, when you are who you are, you attract people in similar kind in that sense. And it has been that way. And it's very organic here. We are a little pack, and I think it's very collaborative. And it's also very, we see ourselves as a collective. And this is not, the firm is not in my namesake for that reason. It's not Melissa Lee's design. It's a group of people who are like-minded. We all want to create something that we are proud of.
So is there a Bespoke Only signature in your design that you try to infuse in each project?
I think that's actually very, that's something that I'm working very much against here. Mm-hmm. When I want to see myself too much in this project, I think that becomes ego. And while certainly, you know, there are designers, architects out there with their very unique signature, that's not how I want to run my own design firm. I think the way I see it, especially we're doing a lot of residential at this moment. We used to do more commercial and residential, but just naturally at this moment it's residential focused. I think it's people's home and this is their life. And I want to be able to create what speaks to them, but not necessarily just another page in my portfolio.
Speaking of your portfolio, which includes across various regions like the Northeast and California, how do you adapt your design aesthetic to suit different geographical and cultural contexts while maintaining the essence of Bespoke Only style?
I think we study quite a bit. So we study, you know, not just necessarily this dwelling itself, but also the locale, the surrounding, the topography of it. And I think that fitting in as a need is just, it doesn't go away. We don't want a place like, it can be a beautiful Parisian apartment, but does that feel quite right in Brooklyn? And I don't really feel that way. So that's not how we would design. So it's always something that we want to feel natural. And a lot of time that people come into our spaces, they often can't even tell like what is new, what is not. And I think that to me is success. It really blended in.
Well, share some stories or some insights into the process of creating an experience-focused approach to interior design. How does Bespoke Only ensure that each space tells a unique story?
We ask people to share their story with us. You know, if it's let's say it's a young couple, like we were talking about in our courtyard project. So we want to tell them, you know, share your days with us and do you host a lot? Like, and what are these parties like? Right? So we really try to almost get under their skin a little bit and know how they live. And like, the space should be fitting to how these people live.
Right.
How it's sometimes not just for this moment, where young family, often their children are growing. And a lot of home at that stage, they need to be more child friendly, right? But then you also want to reserve some negative space for the children to grow into and also for the family to grow into.
You mentioned right now, currently, you're working on a lot of residential projects and you've worked on previously commercial and hospitality. How do you approach these different types of projects? And are there any specific and unique challenges or considerations for each?
I really like both. And so while we are focusing on residential at this moment, I would love to be able to get back to hospitality whenever we can. So if anybody hears this, you know, there's an email and we're there. I think it's nice to do both in the sense that it's different types of creative muscles. I think with hospitality project, it's a little different. Like restaurants, hotels, people go there to experience different things. And there's not a set routine, right? They want to do something that is not necessarily an everyday activity. And they go there for to be challenged almost. And as designers, we get to be able to push the envelope a little bit more with commercial projects. You get to test different finishes, and functionality can be a little less important in that sense, because the wear and tear for also is like a lot higher. So things tend to, not to last as 20 years this long.
Is there a particular project that you have not done that you want to do?
Hotel. So I have always wanted to do a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I travel quite a bit, and for work and also for personal. And I think always in these hotels that it's really fun. It's like living a different life for a brief few days, right? You're in a movie of some sort. Right. And you can get into a different persona when you're there. And that's fun to me. And I wanted to be able to create that little, not fantasy, but, mm-hmm. A different experience for others.
Share some anecdotes or stories from your journey with Sosokone that you have been particularly defining or memorable for you as a creative and a designer.
I think working with clients, design itself is never really that hard. Like, I think I can be in a dark room and just design. That's with yourself. But I think with clients, especially if this is our core, to be empathetic, I think to remember that and incorporate that constantly into how we design. And sometimes that can mean like it's not necessarily something, we believe in as the best approach. Like how to find that balance and know that at the end of the day, we are not the one that live there. Mm-hmm. So worry for others. Can I find, grace in me to learn about that, how different people live?
Bespoke's only design aesthetic is described as modernist with a quiet yet strong sensibility. How do you strike a balance between these elements in your projects, and what principles guide your design decisions?
It's always quiet, as in I'm not someone that naturally is drawn to a lot of different colors and patterns. So while many of our projects are very layered, I think all the layering shares, some common thread to tie everything together. So the quietness is in that. It's never really anything too much sharp contrast. And strong, I think it's almost a little bit of a description for me personally. I think I'm quiet and strong. I'm determined in many ways, and that's, I see that likely is something many entrepreneurs share. So you don't have to be shouting everything you want, but, through designing some subtle backgrounds, then you are able to express yourself.
Are there any particular projects that you've done that really stand out as the epitome of your focus and where you wanted to be with your firm?
We are currently designing our new headquarter. So it's going to be a duplex, and it's going to be used as the office for Bespoke Only. Like I was saying, we live in a brownstone in Clinton Hill, and we are taking the garden and parlor floor. And it's really exciting. And I think it will be a showcase of who we are.
Is there a particular place you have not worked yet that you want to work? And is there a particular project sector, be it a yacht or airplane or anything like that, that you want to try your hand at some point?
Yes. I feel very much the answer. So we, my family vacation in Bali a lot, and we do this regularly annually. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a stop for a while during the pandemic, but now it's coming back. And so Bali has always been a special place for me, and all my fond memories are 99% of them are there. I have been dreaming to be able to have a little project there. So I would really love to be able to do the traditional bamboo bungalow.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. What inspires you?
In general? Or
as a creative? Yeah, what inspires you as a creative?
I think travel quite a bit. And it's not like just different locales, also to see how different people live.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in different place, I think I observe quite a bit. So, these people like to face the street in Europe. They don't like to sit facing each other.
Right.
So, like, why is that? And then how is that, interpreted into design? So stuff like that, and think about like, oh, is this the temperature? Is this the weather? And is this their road condition? What is it? And I think that I have these little internal analysis in my head playing often during travels. And then when I come back, I think that also helps me to become more intuitive to the differences in lifestyle.
What advice would you give to aspiring designers who aim to infuse their work with their same level of emotional depth and cultural resonance that characterizes your designs?
Grit.
Grit and hard work.
Yes. I think New York City itself is a place that requires a lot of grit. Yeah. New York is not a place that is ever going to let you have it easy.
Right.
But you always come out of it stronger. So every day there are some challenges, and I think especially with your own firm, those challenges are very personal, right? It mm-hmm. doesn't stop at, when the business hour ends. So I think being an entrepreneur to be able to handle that takes grit.
Yep, it does, and hard work and a passion and a drive. Yeah,
yeah.
All the above. So tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you're working on now. You mentioned you're working on a lot of residential projects.
We have this really beautiful cottage in East Hampton that's about to wrap up. And so we started working on it last year. And it's a small cottage in a historic part of town. It's definitely not, the new typical Hampton mansions. And so right. I really loved about that. And the landscape is just beautiful. It's also not very typical Hampton hydrangea bushes. It's very English garden, wild meadow. And when we first came to the yard, the first time, it was just like, wow, what is this yard? It's so gorgeous. It looks like a painting. And I can't wait to come back this spring and when the garden is in bloom, and we'll finish up the outdoor portion of it, and we will have it photographed.
Fantastic. Looking ahead, what are some of the goals or aspirations you have for Bespoke Only, both in terms of design innovation and the growth of the studio?
I always know that the studio will stay as a small firm. We wanted to stay boutique, and I want to be able to stay very hands-on with all our projects. The reason I started my firm is not to become a business person, it's to create a platform where I can express my creative voice freely. So that being said, it will always stay in the size where I can do that. You cannot outgrow yourself, essentially. And
right.
So I do want to continue to see how far we can go. And we are constantly hiring. And when the timing is right, and I think we will get our hotel project. And that's going to be really fun. So it's, for the past couple of years, we have been growing pretty rapidly. And that's very blessed to say. And I'm very proud of our team for what we have achieved, which also allowed us the opportunity to be able to take the space now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. We're going to have our home And since it's a garden and parlor level, we're also going to have the backyard to ourselves.
Fantastic.
That is super exciting.
That's a rarity in New York, that's for sure.
Yes. We're already talking about our taco recipes just yesterday in the office. And yeah, it's all in our little Pinterest board now.
Fantastic.
All recipes.
So besides the new location, what else is next for Bespoke Only?
We created our monograph volume 1 2 years ago. So I think this year we're going to print volume 2. So
fantastic.
That's really exciting.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you want to do besides just with a firm, or as a creative, besides a hotel project and other things that you have? Is there anything, let's say, in 5 years you want to accomplish?
I think we definitely want to grow even a little bit bigger, but that is just to give us more room. So we can all have better work-life balance, and we can grill in the yard when we need to and want to. And I want to be able to continue fostering that and for our team. Yeah, this is a privilege and a duty.
Is there anything you'd like to share with our audience about Michelle Lee and Bespoke Only?
Melissa Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's really fine. It's actually, it happens a lot. I used to tell my friends this thing. In our old building, we had lived there for about 12 years at that point. My super know me for 12 years. Always leave me voicemail to Michelle.
Well, they're both beautiful names, so, you know.
And to share with the audience, and I think it's just, you know, follow along. We definitely have very exciting stuff that we cannot wait to share. I kind of suck at sharing our day-to-day social, but I will try to do better. So I think that's something we also want to work on when we have better team structure. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that we'll have more time to share. This is just some fun stuff that we're cooking up. And you know, when our studio is ready, we will throw a party. And I want all of you to come.
We'll all follow along for sure. Well, when's the opening date? Do you have a timeline for that?
As every construction, there is no.
But, it was yesterday. It might be tomorrow.
hopefully before end of May.
Okay, just around the corner. Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect timing for summer barbecue, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's how we're going to kick it off.
Fantastic. Well, Melissa, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I thank you for coming today, and it's been a complete pleasure. And much success to you moving forward.
Thank you, Craig. It's so lovely chatting with you.
We'll talk soon.